Sports Day for Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Red Energy, a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Matthew Lloyd, Scoop McClure to join us shortly. But as we discussed this time last week, the Queensland Premier has prevented Victorian teams from playing in Brisbane and the Gold Coast for the foreseeable future, which has turned round five on its head. It was not unexpected, and the can-do approach of the CEO today was exactly what was needed.
And those who accept and adapt to that challenge, those who show their resilience, will be those who do best. At the very start of this crisis, we planned a number of contingencies to look at how we would get our games away in a manner and in locations where it was safe to do so. As situations have changed in various states, so has our response. We find a way, and we will continue to do so in a calm, controlled way. We've remained flexible and agile, and we'll continue to do so as we work our way through completing the remaining 118 games of the home and away season, plus finals. One thing we do know is there will be more challenges. And with every challenge, football will find a way through. I've spoken to the clubs today to make them aware of the changes with Queensland and how we are responding. I also thank the clubs for embracing the challenge and working with us very quickly to find a way through in the last 24 hours and realising we just have to deal with any change and respond to it. It's a test for all at the AFL and all clubs, but I want to thank all who have accepted the challenge and the resilience they have shown and continue to show. And finally, I want to thank our fans for their support throughout this season.
There's Gil McLachlan. Yes, this won't be an easy season. It was never going to be. But for the winner, it will still be celebrated as long and as hard as any. This is Sports Day for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy and Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And you can join us again on the Harcourts open line. Welcome back to Harcourts on 13 13 32. For all things real estate, speak to Harcourts. If you want to talk about the state of football, Matthew Lloyd is ready and willing to take your calls. So too is Scoop McClure. Welcome to you, Scoop. It's been a big day in footy.
It certainly has. Hello, Jared. Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. Well, there's two things that we know right now. One is that the options for the AFL of where to play are rapidly evaporating. And the other one is that as we go to air tonight, Travis Old, who's going to join us shortly, and his fixture team are going to work in how they can recreate mini hubs across the country.
Where would they do that?
I think they'll do it in several different places, Jared. I think they'll send teams two by two to different places. Yep. I think they'll send teams to New South Wales, to Queensland. I think there'll be a team based in the ACT potentially for a number of weeks. Northern Territory, I'd throw in the mix as well. Everywhere, really, but Tasmania. We don't know what's going to happen with the South Australian government and their borders. They're going to open them on July 20. But given, Jared, we've had 75 new cases in Victoria today, they may well turn around and say, we're opening up our borders, but not to Victorians.
Yes, we are going to talk to Frank Panisi, who last week gave us some information which we followed up on. And
he stole your crystal ball, I think.
He has done a great job indeed. He told everybody that they were going to be prevented. They were going to move up to Queensland, and the reason was that the Queensland government were going to close their borders. I don't think too many people took it that seriously. Well, today they have done that. And the bad news is, I spoke to him earlier, Scoop, and he's going to join us later on, is that his gut feel is that similar things are being discussed in Sydney. Now, it would be impossible for them not to be discussing, because tomorrow if we wake up and there's 100 live cases here and community cross-infection continues to go out of hand, well, we'll be lucky if we have any teams in Melbourne staying here, and they may have to get out of Victoria in a hurry.
But if that does happen, Jared, I think it's important to note that the AFL has several plans in place to get this season away. We may well have to have a lot of the 10 teams in that are here in Victoria spend significant parts of the year away from the state.
This is going to be an interesting year, and it's going to be, as always, there'll be one premier, and they'll be remembered and celebrated long and hard. 13 13 32 is the Harcourt's open line number if you'd like to join us. We'll hear from Alistair Clarkson and Chris Scott shortly. But Matthew Lloyd joins us for Macca's. You can try Macca's new cheesy range. Your favourites only choose you. Welcome to you, Lloyd. It's been an interesting couple of days after a big weekend of footy.
Yeah, it has been a big 24 hours, and I think that you're right, that Gillon McLachlan was pretty relaxed today, but every game and every round we get through, he might wipe the brow and say, okay, please, we've got another 9 games through, and yep. I suppose they've managed to do this week, but then next week gets harder again, and the rounds that are actually out there. So I think the one saving grace is Port Adelaide. I think we've seen, as bad as some have been,
yep,
the attitude of Port Adelaide. So I think, you know, maybe at the start it was a shock for everyone, for Adelaide, or for Port Adelaide, or for West Coast, but the attitude that we've seen from Port and the ability to win games shows that they've had a smile on their face. And Ken Inkley said the best hub is a winning hub. And we've actually kept smiles on the face because of the way we're performing, whereas it can become a real grind if you're losing. And that's the thing. The Gold Coast Suns are second on the ladder. Stewie Jew should start preparing them from right now. So, yep, we're going on a holiday for 4 weeks. How good would it be? We go to Geelong, then we'll get to play at the MCG against Hawthorn. Then we're going to Sydney, and they've done it before in the past and haven't done it well. They've lost, but they travelled the country.
Yeah. They didn't last do it well, but they didn't do it well with a crap team. Yeah,
that's right. So I think that's what teams have. The mindset of teams will be much better, I think, than what the West Coast Eagles have been.
So for those wondering, Lloydie, the Gold Coast Suns are going to be one of those teams that have to spend you at least 3 or 4 weeks on the road because they're playing in Melbourne this weekend, in Geelong. They'll have to come home to Queensland, Jared, via Sydney, and probably play the two Sydney sides. That would essentially be avoiding quarantine while still playing games.
Yep. So they've got another Melbourne game. So they're in Geelong. Then they have Hawthorn in Melbourne. So they'll just stay here for 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then go to Sydney to play the Sydney teams for 2 weeks. So
interesting watching the Port Adelaide team and the Gold Coast team. And you look at the highlights of how they're kicking goals. They've actually got blokes leading at the ball carrier through the middle of the ground, which takes you back to your days, Lloydie, when you put your hand up and you let out, you took marks, you took pack marks. Mm. They kicked it long occasionally. They weren't always 14-metre kicks. Mm. And it was exciting football to watch. Now, there were probably 3 good games on the weekend. You throw the Saints and the Tigers into that particular category. I think that was a pretty good game for a fair period of time. But there was some average football, and it's led to a meltdown from some people who think the game needs to be reset.
Before you two discuss the state of the game, curious to hear both of your opinions. Just a positive on the Suns and Matt Rowe, who just for the third time in a row polled the perfect 10 in coaches' votes. He's done that in his first 4 games. The person that has done that with the fewest amount of games after Matt Rowe was Tim Kelly with 31.
Yeah, but so he was 23.
Yep. No, this is games, though.
One kid's 18 and one guy's 23.
Dustin Martin took 33 games.
Yep.
Paddy Cripps and Luke Shuey took 43. Marcus Bontempelli took 44. And Nat Fyfe took 52. That's Swamp on Twitter. He does his best work with Channel 7.
Lordy, if you had been a midfielder, you would have done it in your first 3 games. Let's be honest. Tell us your assessment of the weekend of footy, because it started with a shocking game and there were a couple of good ones in the middle and it finished with a couple of shockers as well.
What I'm pleased about, Jared, is that the top team on the ladder, Port Adelaide, you just play wonderful brand of footy. The second team on the ladder, the Suns, we all love watching. Brisbane a third. I think they play a pretty good brand of
good
footy.
Fun.
Should have kicked 20 goals on the weekend.
They should have.
But missed them. You've got the Hawks in fourth, but then you've got St Kilda, who are also in the top 8 and playing good brand of footy. So the hope is that if you want to play that way, you can have success. And I watched St Kilda Richmond. I love what they did. And Richmond, I thought they were trying to pressure, but they just didn't have the weaponry with St Kilda, with Bradley Hill and Dan Butler and Gresham and Loney and the speed of those sort of players. So
Jones.
I think Jones was good too. So
do you think the Tigers' effort is there, or do you think they're just not? I mean, they're trying hard, but they can't get out of third year.
I thought they were much better this week than the week before.
Yep.
But I spoke of Josh Caddy. Like he's on a wing and Camden McIntosh is on the other wing. They were badly exposed by Bradley Hill and Jack Billings, who were the two wingers for St Kilda. So, they were ugly games yesterday. There's no doubt about that. I thought Geelong played not to lose rather than going and putting away Melbourne. I thought that Hawthorn, it was sort of like rugby scrum. That's why Clarko was probably frustrated a little bit. But again, North had kicked 4 goals for 3 quarters and nearly won the game. So I just think some teams are playing very safe. And I can't wait to watch the Suns play Geelong because I think that Geelong should put them to the sword. And I think I want to see Rowell up against Guthrie, probably going hard at him. I want to see how Rowell goes up against Selwood for periods, Dangerfield. But if they want to play safe Geelong, they'll get what Carlton did to them. And before they know it, they'll put six goals on them.
Yeah, but I think what happened was Carlton did what they did because Geelong were playing a little bit more of an expansive game, to use Gil McLaughlin's term. They were trying to attack and they got done. And I think what happened was, okay, we've got to go slow and set up behind the ball so we don't get scored against on turnover. And that's one of the great problems. Yeah. 66% of scores come from turnovers. Coaches hate turnovers. And turnovers come when you move the ball quickly.
Jared, you've been talking about the state of the game for the best part of 15 years. I reckon it was 2005 you first wrote a column about where footy was going. Well, two big voices had their say on the state of footy, Alistair Clarkson and Chris Scott. Let's hear from Clarko first.
Gee, I hope I'm not the only one that thought it was a dreadful game. there's just no highlights in the game. You know, we got a result. Bank it and move on. I don't think North played well, and I don't think Hawthorn played well. You can't have that many tackles and not one of them be incorrect disposal. And you wonder why the game is, you know, an arm wrestle and just you can't get any open footy. Like tonight's game was just, God, if that's a spectacle that we're trying to search for in our game's in a dreadful space.
So that was Clarko talking about the state of the game and then Chris Scott responding to how to fix congestion.
If your issue is congestion, you want the ball to flow better and make it harder to defend, reduce the number of players on the field, increase the number of players rotating, and the ball will ping around and it will be so hard to coach and so hard to defend. My view is they ask the coaches too much. Coaches are in a really good position to give feedback around what the tactical response might be to certain rule changes. I'm not pushing this agenda. Let me be really clear.
Jared, would you reduce the amount of players on the ground if you were trying to reduce congestion?
No, I'm not a fan of reducing the amount of players on the ground, I've got to say. I'm not certain it would reduce congestion, as Scotty and a number of other coaches have said, because I think that you're still going to have a lot of players around the ball. You're going to have a lot of players around stoppage. So I'm not absolutely convinced of that, and I'm against changing the tradition of the game. And I'd love to try everything else before that was tried. But I'm a strong believer that the big issue is congestion. I don't think the issue of congestion is going to go away by paying three or four extra free kicks, maybe five or six extra free kicks for incorrect disposal. And I think if you do that, then you take away one of the great fundamentals of the game, and that is looking after the ball carrier, Lordy. I'm not sure where you sit on this, but you know, I think something does need to be done. I think that Steve Hocking will do something at the end of the year. But I don't think there's a magic bullet that is going to unravel congestion at the moment unless you go to the nuclear option, which is zones. Mm.
Yeah, I don't want zones either, and I don't want what Chris Scott said about taking two players off the field. I love your idea. You've been pushing for the longer kicks. I think that that would be brilliant to get longer kicks. They're just possessing the ball. It's sort of
and
keeping
it slows
off.
Everything down,
it is. And you know, I've never seen teams, which I spoke about, the orange backwashers. I've never seen so many teams kicking backwards.
Mm. Yep.
So can we get that? I think play on. That would be fantastic because you've got to kick backwards. They can't just go back and soak time and all that. Make it play on. So they're simple, in my eyes, simple ones that aren't changing with the tradition of the game in a sense. So longer kicks, don't allow for backward kicks, or they're allowed, but play on. Mm. I think ball ups, we waste too much time. I even heard Mumford on the weekend say, I'm actually handling the game really well because the amount of time they're waiting for the umpires to throw the ball up, I'm actually coping pretty well on the weekend. I thought it was fine, V. Grundy. So he's standing there in between goals. He's standing there at stoppage waiting for them to nominate who the umpire is. There's simple things like that. But I think with the press and the way teams are pressing, Jared, it would be interesting to see if they ever got to a point where they said for a certain amount of numbers have to be inside forward 50.
Well, that's where we're heading. Yeah. I mean, that is dead set where the game's going if the numbers continue around the ball. And I can't see any way that we're going to put the genie back in the bottle. I must admit I agree with Clarko in 50%. And as you know, I've been a strong advocate for a long time for team prior opportunity. I've had meetings with Andrew Gillen and Simon Lethlean when he was running football, trying to get them to consider it. I had a meeting with Steve Hocking only 12 months ago saying, you know, this is the halfway mark. Clarko wants to, make tackling more rewardable. That's fair enough. But you can't take away from what Gil McLaughlin put in his charter, and that is to protect the ball carrier. And I think we've got prior opportunity down to so finite, so little now that it makes it more complicated. I would expand it for the ball winner, take it away from the ball receiver, and so the receiver gets nothing and the tackler gets rewarded, and then hopefully the bloke who wins the ball gets an opportunity to get rid of it in a longer form of the game, as in handball 5 metres, not 1.5 metres, because the 1.5 metre handball generally ends up in another stoppage. Yep.
Sports Day is powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. Fixture boss Travis Old, he's going to join us live. It's next on Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. And, of course, Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Travis Old, the AFL fixture boss, who's had a big 24 hours.
Oh, as he what?
Is about to join us. But before that, and the lines are open for Harcourt's 13 13 32. Perhaps you can give us your thoughts on this issue. Lordy, if I can guarantee you that somebody would kick 100 goals by the introduction of a three- or a four-man zone, a restrictive area in the forward line, and you could do it without changing the face of football to a large degree, would you support it?
I'd be up for that. And to be able to say that Ben and Max King, instead of chasing kicks up on the wing, could stay inside a 70-metre range
wait.
For the next 10 years,
so hang on.
I'd support it.
Right. But when are you allowed to leave the 50? Never.
They're all about details. All I want to know is if he would trade one for the other.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's get to the fixture because fair to say, Jared, that the fixture was looking okay for the best part of, 2 weeks, and it's now been thrown into disarray because governments are closing their borders left, right, and centre.
Anastasia's got an election coming in October.
Yes. I don't think Travis Old, the fixture boss, gets too involved in the politics, but he might want to comment. Travis, welcome to you.
Evening, guys. How are we?
We're good. The better question is, how is the fixture looking and when will we have more clarity over what the rest of the year is going to look like? Are we going to be having hubs across the country, Travis?
Good question, Sam. I think when we committed to this season, we said that it'd throw up some challenges and at round four, it hasn't let us down. I don't think we'll have clarity like we used to. I think we made that pretty clear. Gil certainly made that clear today. During his press conference, that this is a year where there's going to be a lot of unexpected changes and we've just got to prepare ourselves for that. And perhaps this notion of even releasing a fixture a week at a time best places us to be able to deal with all those changes. And so the focus in the last 24, 48 hours has been able to rejig round five so we can continue on. We need to spend the next few days now working out what six and seven look like and how we best deal with the changes in the protocols, particularly in the quarantine situation, particularly in Queensland.
So you're sending Collingwood and Geelong to WA, Travis. Do you think we'll end up sending two teams at a time to different areas of the country so they can base themselves there, New South Wales, Queensland, the ACT, Northern Territory?
Yeah, that's certainly a probability, Sam. So if you think about the changes in the exemption that we had from Queensland government, teams, if they go directly into, or Victorian teams, if they go directly into Queensland and need to quarantine for 14 days, they can play each other during that time. If they come via another state, in this case, probably most likely New South Wales, then that counts as part of that quarantine time. And so it makes sense that we might get a couple of Victorian teams into Sydney. There's certainly an opportunity to do something similar in South Australia after the 20th of July when their borders open. And so we just need to think about how we rejig the movement of teams sort of between states beyond this week.
Spoke to you Thursday night, Travis, about the possibility of the Queensland borders closing, and the same question now applies, I suspect, to the New South Wales government, given the runaway numbers that we're having of COVID people in this town. Do you think New South Wales will follow suit?
I'm not sure, Jared. I'm not sure exactly what each government's going to do, but we just got to provide ourselves with as much flexibility as we can. And by not having all 10 Victorian teams stay within Victoria, that helps that situation. We've got clarity on WA. We think we can make that model work well. It's actually a similar model in Queensland. So we need to get some teams into Queensland and start quarantining. And if we can do the same in New South Wales and, as I say, potentially South Australia, then I feel like we can find our way through this in a fairly structured way.
So the new teams that would go to Queensland, will they be able to do the same as the deal you've got with Western Australia government, that they'll be able to play the first week in the quarantine situation amongst themselves before they play the two Queensland-based sides?
It's certainly our understanding. We're just trying to finalise some of the quarantine details with the Queensland government now. But as we see at the moment, you could send two non-Queensland teams up to Brisbane or Gold Coast. 7 days later, they could play each other. and then 7 days after that, having served their 14 days, they could play one of the two Queensland teams. So it is very similar, as I see it now, very similar to the WA model. And so we just need to start getting teams fed into Queensland so they can start their quarantine. Or if they go via New South Wales, then that time counts as part of that 14 days.
Any thoughts of giving them an incentive? If you kick 15 goals twice in a row, you won't go into a hub?
Certainly we've talked about lots of things with coaches' incentives, and that could be one that could work well. I mean, you've seen some really exciting footy that teams have scored, and we've seen some that hasn't been as exciting, and so anything we can do to encourage scoring is welcome.
Travis, who's in the mix to go to Queensland?
Well, we know if you do a process of elimination, we know that there's a number of teams that have already played the WA teams in Queensland, and so they won't go to WA. And so that eliminates a few teams. Likewise, some have played the SA teams. And so it's a bit of, we need to work out the next 2 days, I think, Sam, who are the right teams so as we don't restrict ourselves. But certainly every team, and we spoke to the CEOs today, every team, every club's prepared to do their bit to keep this season progressing.
Trav, is there a maximum amount of time you can have one particular team away from their families, or is this season we've just got to do what we can to get the games and the rounds going and obviously moved along?
It feels like, Lordy, from the experience in Queensland, that sort of 4 to 5 week period is fairly manageable, as long as the conditions are right, as long as you've got good accommodation, the right people looking after the clubs and the players, and the quarantine conditions work for them. And I think that 4 to 5 week period seems like that works okay. It may not be, under these circumstances, 4 to 5 weeks in the same place. If you look at Geelong and Collingwood, for example, they'll go to WA for 3 weeks. They may come back via one of the other states now. So they may not come back into Victoria straight away. They could come back via New South Wales. They might come back via Queensland. We've just got that optionality we need to explore.
Interesting, Trav. And just on round 6 and 7, do you feel that you have to? How long do you wait to bring out the round? Because things are changing day by day. Obviously, round 6 there might be 3 games that need to be changed from what you've already put out. But how long are you best to wait as late as possible, or you need to get this going for the clubs?
It's certainly the preference of the clubs and broadcasters is to have a couple of weeks' notice. And so we think that as long as we've got the next 2 weeks understood and announced, then you know, clubs and broadcasters feel okay. It hasn't been an issue with our supporters to date, obviously, because we haven't been able to accommodate crowds. As that starts to come into play, that's a fact we need to take into account in terms of giving fans enough notice to get a ticket to get to games. So it's the complexity continues, but certainly the flexibility is really important for us at the moment.
Appreciate your time, Travis. It's a great challenge for you, and you are going to, more than anybody, have to be flexible and agile and look
malleable.
And malleable and all those words. And thanks again for jumping on the phone for us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Travis Old there, the AFL fixture boss, all for Australian made. Look for the green and gold Aussie made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian made. Well, there you have it, Lloydie and Jared. That's pretty significant news. Basically, confirmation there from the fixture boss, Travis Old, that we're going to have
hubs
all across the country. They're going to look to send pretty quickly, it sounds like, teams to Queensland. They would then have to quarantine, but they can play each other in that quarantine period. So if you send Carlton and Hawthorn, for argument's sake, they could play each other in the first week. By the end of the second week, they'll have quarantined. Then they could start playing Brisbane and Gold Coast. You could do the same thing in South Australia post July 20, as long as Stephen Marshall, the Premier, doesn't close their borders to Victoria. You could do the same thing in Northern Territory, Jared, and the ACT.
And the other thing he also said, Jared, was Collingwood and Geelong won't be coming home after 21 days. They'll either go to Queensland or New South Wales on the way home to get a game in as well.
So that they won't have to start again and quarantine.
Yeah.
So it's going to be demanding, and all the players need to jump on board and to have a positive attitude. Otherwise, it's going to be just impossible to deal with for some players, it seems, Lloydie. But I think if you do take the Port Adelaide approach, then you can turn it into a real win.
It's at the end of the day, there's 14 games to go, isn't there? Or 13 now?
13.
13 games. So you have to, Jared, otherwise your season can soon spiral.
Who's going to win the flag as of round 4, Lloydie?
Well, I will still stick with Collingwood.
Okay.
Concerned about Majacek and Cox.
Yeah.
And obviously Howe's gone down, but I still like the
You're concerned about quick ball movement?
With them?
Yep.
Not really. I'm just concerned about, I think their defence is sound. I like their midfield.
No Jeremy Howe.
Yeah, but I still think they can go all right in that regard. Like Rance last year, it was just the forward line. Need Elliott and Degoe to improve on what they're putting out at the moment.
And do you think that the Merritt decision was the right decision, that he got a week?
Had there not been an injury, I would have expected nothing or a fine. But with what happened, yeah, I think that's a week was fair.
And you, Jared?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
What if nothing happened?
Well, if nothing happened, I think he gets a fine at the moment. But you break a rib, he's lucky to get 1 week.
Can I ask you a physio question? Just, I know Tony Tardio is waiting with the news headlines. The physio in the room.
Yeah.
When someone breaks a rib and then it bruises a lung, people talk about, must have just got him in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Does the spot exist?
No, or the is spot, it all based, that's just garbage.
So it's all based on force then?
It's all based on force. He broke a rib, he got him with his knuckle, and he smacked the rib, and the ribs would have hit the lungs. So it's a forceful blow. Yep. And all the people that said it was a love tap.
There are a few that said that.
I'd love those journos. I offered this to Johnny Ralph on Saturday afternoon. Raise Put your hands up in the air and let me just smash her in the back of the ribs with a fist or a baseball bat and see if you think it's inconsequential.
I have a feeling you might have done that one or two times back in the day.
No, not
and
really.
And I reckon Lordy might have as well. To the
I know Roger
back.
Merritt did it to me a couple of times.
Now time for news headlines with Tony Tardio. It's all for Urban Alley, Australian-made hand sanitizer. Go online, urbanalley.com.au. Tony, good evening.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Matthew Lord here for Macca's. Macca's new cheesy burgers are your favourites. Only cheesier and mozzarella sticks are back, but only for a limited time, available after 10:30 a.m. If you'd like to pose a question, now's your opportunity on the open line for Harcourts, 13 13 32. And Lloydie, the issue for me is whether or not you think prior opportunity is at the right level right now, or do you think Gil McLaughlin and Alistair Clarkson are right that it needs to be tightened up?
I would like to see more paid, Jared. I think his number on 90, I'm not sure how many tackles they laid. I want to go through them before tonight's show.
67?
67 and 7 or say holding the ball. I know that's a number, but I'm looking forward to going through them on tonight's show to say, okay, which ones is right, or is he saying they're tackles that a million people jump on top of the one bloke and that shouldn't be paid? So, yeah, I'd like to see more pay just to see if the game can open up, but they can't just be paid for the sake of it either, Jared. So I'm not probably as I'm with you. I was number one, protect the ball carrier.
Yep.
I'm with you on that, but I still would like to see more tackles paid to open up the game a little bit.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a few more of those tackles in the last 15 minutes, but I ended up failing. Mm. I went to MasterChef. So I didn't see North Melbourne's comeback because I couldn't watch it after a while.
Yeah. It was. Is that one of the first times you've ever done that?
Oh, absolutely. Mm.
So, Jared, do we have enough prior opportunity?
Or I don't think we do.
Do we have too much?
I don't think we have enough. I think it's tightened up to a ridiculous
level. So you want to go the other way?
I'd go the other way, but I would, you know, as a trade-off, I'd say team prior opportunity. So you get one, and to me the ones that really, and I'm not talking about going back to the six steps, but when I see a guy like Cam Guthrie did on the weekend, he picked the ball up.
The blind turn.
He was looking for just a space. He didn't even know where he was. He was just getting his way through, and then he ran straight into a tackle. He didn't have an opportunity to get rid of the ball. He had no opportunity to get rid of the ball.
But I as a fan, I don't know, you thinking, Lordy, watching that game, was conditioned to know that he would be pinged for that because of the way that the game's gone.
And I can't believe what guys get pinged for.
I agree.
And others will get it and say, well, that's too much time. I just think that there's a balance there, and the balance is give the guy who wins the ball a shade more time. So the one that really gripes me is if you've had no prior opportunity at all, and you just get tackled immediately. They come out of your blind side. You put your hand up to actually protect yourself.
And you fend it.
And you fend it off. And they say that's your prior opportunity. Well, that is nonsense.
Sorry, Jared, dumb question here. If you want to go the other way than Clarko and actually give more opportunity, how will it help congestion ultimately, do you think? Or is it a separate issue?
I don't really think it helps congestion. Okay. I mean, I don't see paying six or seven more free kicks helps congestion. Mm. It may get it moving a tiny little bit, but everyone will run down and you'll just have congestion. The congestion is the issue, and the prior opportunity and non-prior opportunity, I think, is treating a symptom rather than the main issue.
It's been a tough day for the game with obviously that talk and obviously everything going on with the hub. So some of my highlights, Jared, from the weekend is seeing Bontempelli, the way he was beaten up in that final last year, to how he has handled close attention. And some of those marks that he took at the SCG was that of like coup de fides in the sense, you know, it's a player really commanding and he's doing more to help his teammates. So I reckon that as a Steel side bottom's one I want to talk about is he's a great player, Steel, but I saw De Boer harass him and he got 12 possessions. I think Bontempelli teams would start thinking he's harder to tag now, I think, because of the way he has played. He's played like a real man. He's got 1-3 best and fairest, so he's been a superstar. But now you'd start going, is he taggable the way he has played the last couple of weeks? I think he's got even better. So,
what makes him so hard to tag now, Lloyd?
I just think that he is doing more around the contest. So he's smashing into other teammates to let their player get released. So he's backing into the packs and taking marks at the top of the goal square. Still side bottom. Is probably still skirting around, hoping for the ball to come out to him. Whereas I think Bontempelli, the way he's playing, is making him very hard to tag with how tough he's actually playing the game. So I think he's added an extra string to his bow with that.
I saw one journo write up a story, I can't remember where it was, who it was, but saying the way to beat Collingwood has been revealed by tagging Steel Sidebottom. Well, didn't the West Coast Eagles tag Steel Sidebottom 2 years ago? What's been more amazing? The real story is how clubs go in and play Collingwood without putting a negative on him.
Yep. And a big disappointment was the Bombers letting Doherty. I've seen Carlton beat Essendon a similar way for about three times. Simpson did it to him one day in the wet under Brendan Bolton.
Yep.
Would have had 35 touches, just the seventh defender. Doherty had far too much time and space, and that was a bad loss for the Bombers. And I'm loving Chad Wingard.
Chad, well, isn't
he? Yeah, just to see a player like Charlie Dixon in a sense where you've seen him and his body hasn't been in a tip-top AFL shape, and you'll say, you're a talented player, but will you ever get the best out of yourself? Chad has been an All-Australian. He's on his way back to I think he'll be that again this year. Kicking goals, hard in the midfield. So it's been brilliant to see from the Hawks perspective.
So next week, Lloydie, we might get you to put together a team of best, most improved players. Mm. And Levi Casbolt, I think, was underrated last year. I think he was doing this last year, but not getting as much attention because Carlton weren't winning games. But he is, without question, the most improved player over the last 2 years and the biggest opportunity lost by every other club that could have got him for nothing 2 years ago. And what a power forward he's turned into.
And he's kicking, Jared. Now you expect him to kick goals. It's one of the greatest turnarounds. I said about 4 years ago, I don't think you can pick Casbolt anymore because you just cannot trust him.
Yep.
But now you expect him to kick the goals.
That's incredible.
You've talked about, Lloydie, as someone that has tried to teach people to change their techniques, how hard it is midway through your career.
Extremely
he's managed
tough.
To do it somehow. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or if it's an actual...
No, it's a technical thing. I think Savrocker has worked a hell of a lot with him, and he's worked really hard at his job and his skill, and he's done a great job.
Just a late couple from track watchers with that Carlton St Kilda game being moved 2 days early from Saturday to Thursday. I reckon it's going to have an impact on two players, one from either team. Harry Mackay's been struggling with ribs.
Right.
They thought he'd get up for this Saturday, looking unlikely with Thursday. And Zach Jones had a tight hammy at the end of the game on the weekend. I don't think he'll play on Thursday. In fact, I think you can put a line through
and
it.
And it'll go through against Silvani too, won't it?
And Silvani will have to go out as well.
Yeah.
Yep. So they lose another forward, Carlton. So,
Jared, what would you do with Zorko? If you...
Don't play him.
Don't play him for a period of time.
Probably
yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Until he's pain-free. I mean, they're saying it's a calf muscle, lower calf soleus, if you like, technically.
But which it's is probably, what Brett Deledio had?
I don't know what Brett Deledio had.
Talked about his soleus.
Okay, so he's got the soleus. It's essentially where the Achilles joins the calf muscle. So he missed with an Achilles tendon, and they're sore at the best of times, and they can dog you for months and years. So I would be treating him as if not coming back until you're 100% for a couple of weeks.
Brisbane play Port Adelaide this week.
Yeah. So it's a real shame he's not playing.
Yeah, first v third, but I don't know if Brisbane are going that well. I thought that Fremantle, they won by a couple of goals. I thought again on the weekend they were okay.
Whereas, they should have won by 12 goals on the weekend. So they had a bad third quarter.
How they go against Port Adelaide this weekend.
Yep.
So up at the Gabba.
Who are you tipping?
On form, Port Adelaide.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that they're going extremely well. But Charlie Dixon, Harris Andrews, we should see if that matchup comes about because Harris is in great form.
He is. He was near on best on the ground on the weekend. And I think he'll play a little bit more attention to his run-up than perhaps the West Coast Eagles defenders did, Lloydie. I don't want to take your spot for the classified tonight, but needs a bit more attention.
Jared must have been buying shares in Charlie Dixon a few weeks ago, Lloydie, because he was pumping him up every single day.
Oh, it's good to see.
Well, how good is it to go to or watch a game of footy when you've got a big man playing like big men are supposed to, clunking marks and kicking bags of goal. Is six a bag? It is in this
year. Of course it is. Yeah. Oh, it always six was always a bag.
He kicked six and a half times.
You know, I'm going to find out the stats of how many times you kicked six. Yeah. Of course you did. It's probably against Carlton. Sports Day is powered by Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Make the switch today like Jared and I have. And Kia, Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. More Sports Day after this.
A sports news update for Tyre Power. Great deals and brands you can trust. Biggest ever stock take sale on now at Tyre Power.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. In Tyre Power, our great friends at Tyre Power, trusted Tyre Power experts. Huge day, massive ramifications in the AFL. If you're just tuning in, Travis Earl, the fixture boss, has given us an indication that like Collingwood and Geelong going over to Western Australia, the AFL, and they're starting it tonight, are beginning to plan for the main probability, that's the word that Travis Old was using, the probability of sending teams around the country, Jared, for mini hubs. We have to be prepared for the teams that we love and hold close to our hearts to be on the road for weeks at a time.
Well, I think that's the supporters, the fan base are absolutely conditioned to that. They're seeing it on TV. It's the players themselves. We haven't heard from the Players Association, Lloydie, so far with this. They would appear to be on board and pretty supportive.
I think everyone realises now, don't they, that you've just got to do what you have to do.
Yep.
After seeing what the other clubs have done for 6 weeks, you just got to do what you're told.
Think of West Coast Eagles to play finals, Lloydie?
Great question. Who have they got now this weekend? The Swans, haven't they?
Yep.
You'd want to win that one, I would have thought.
It's a big bonus for them, really. They've traded out the Tigers and traded in the Swans.
Yep. And I think if they can't win that, they don't play finals.
I think that's right. I think that's a fair assessment. Mm. What about the Tigers?
The Tigers...
I know you're a bit more bullish on them than West Coast, but they've got the same issues.
Yep. I think that the Tigers... As I said, there's some ageing players there that aren't having the impact. And I think that the midfield, you know, Dusty had no impact. Cochin was trying hard but had no
Seb
impact.
Seb Ross on Dusty?
He was sort of in and around, but they weren't tagging him hard or anything like that. He had no impact forward. But, yeah, you know, I'm really concerned about him. I just think it's hard to start the top for so long. I remember speaking to Sam about the hunger. Players lose hunger. It looks like some of them have. And other teams are... Yeah, I think the lack of pace is really something that's jumping out at me from the Tigers.
I think the West Coast as well.
The lack of hunger is always something that the people that have never spent a second in a footy club find hard to understand. But, you know, working with you guys for so long, it is something that's very real. When you've been to the top and accomplished what you want to in your career, Jared, apparently there are examples that you can't quite find that level again.
Well, I reckon we've seen that through history, Lordy. I didn't have the challenge of coming to reproduce form after a grand final, but I think you have it after a big season. You can, you know, particularly if you really take your training level to another level to sort of, okay, how do I maintain that? Have you got the hunger to keep doing the hours as a training regime to get it? If the Suns beat Geelong on the weekend, Lordy, will the Suns play finals?
Yes. Yes, but I'm tipping Geelong this week. But I think that, if they win that one, that's one that you can bank to say you wouldn't have expected at the start of the year.
No.
And they've got that. So 4-1, you should make it from there.
Can't believe that you two were trying to say that six goals isn't a bag. I just had a quick look through AFL tables. I might be one or two off, but M. Lloyd in 270 games kicked six or more 43 times. That's 16%.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
You're not a bad player, though, Lloydie.
That's unbelievable.
Thanks, Scoop. My head won't fit out the door after that. Thank you.
I might have to bring that up.
This is Sports Day with Scoop McClure, Jared Ealy, and old Wobblehead over there is wobbling out the door. Seven minutes past 7. Hello, welcome back to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. If you have just joined us, as a big first hour, because footy has turned on its head in the space of about 12 hours.
Yep.
And it's, I guess, reflective of the challenges that the game is now facing, Scoop.
Yeah, it certainly is, Jared. So what we know right now is that round 5 is going to look a whole lot different. They've changed some games with the Queensland government, basically making it impossible for Victorians to travel there. We thought football would have an exemption. Alexander Palaszczuk.
Anastasia
Palaszczuk. Can't believe I got her name wrong, Jared. Has decided that, you know, they're going to be stricter protocols.
Yep.
What we can tell you is that the AFL is planning a whole raft of things, planning to send teams away from Victoria potentially for weeks on end so that we can get the 144 games that we so desire out.
And you're still concerned that we won't have the every side playing everybody?
Well, no. I mean, I think that the AFL is steadfast in its view that they will get those games out.
Yep.
My worry, Jared, is depending on what happens with the South Australian government,
yep,
depending on what happens with the Queensland government, it's, yep, going to become increasingly more difficult with the flexibility of the fixture. Now, the AFL and Gillon McLachlan has consistently told us that we're going to be agile. We're going to be flexible. What's, yep, another word for that? We're going to be malleable.
Yep, I would like that one.
But there's only so far you can take it.
I'll tell you who is not being flexible or malleable.
Yeah.
Is our good friend, as you said, Anastasia.
Mm.
Do you think the fact that there's an election up there on the 31st of October 2020 has anything to do with her being so strong
that she's
against kicking a Vix?
That she's $1.20 to lose, by the way.
$1.20 to lose. So she's strengthening.
There's no way that there's politics at play. There's been politics at play at this since January.
No way that there's not politics at play.
That's a double negative.
Well, that's what you should be saying.
Okay. So there's politics at play.
Absolutely. Anastasia realises she's got one chance, and that's to be tough on borders.
I just want to make this point. I want to ask you this question, just so that we're crystal clear on it. Given all the hurdles that we have to jump through,
yeah,
over now, and all the rings that we have to jump through,
yeah,
is it any clearer in your mind how special the premier of the 2020 season is going to be remembered?
I think it's going to be a great challenge. I haven't considered it because I'm just taking it 1 week at a time.
I'm taking it one week at a time
at this stage.
Has the media manager got to you?
No, the media manager isn't. But I just know that it's all about, as I said to you months ago, getting the boat to Hobart.
Yep.
The whole competition can celebrate if we get the boat to Hobart and we do get a premier.
What would you take today's news as? If you're on the boat, was it just a big wave?
No, I was really bored by Gillon McLachlan's approach today. He came out and said, we're going to get this done.
Yep.
There's going to be challenges along the way. You might be underwater for a couple of minutes, but just hold your breath. We are going to come back up. You'll get there. You can reset the storm jib anytime you like. So we are not that far away. So with all that in mind, it's time now for a Polaris Sports update. And our good friend Tom Morris from Fox Footy joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Thomas.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Jared.
Looking forward to your contribution tonight because last week, wasn't it great to open up the show telling everybody, as we did here, that the Queensland government were going to close the borders?
Yep.
And they duly did.
Well, isn't it great when Sports Day and Fox Footy on the couch sort of combine? I don't know who the common denominator is. It might be you, Jared, but there was a real link between the two shows last week. Oh, and what we saw with the Queensland government is that they've actually followed through on that. And I was just listening to you and Sam talk about it just before, and there's no guarantee that that's not going to happen in other states as well. I mean, the state governments have the whip hand here, and the AFL, in a sense, has their hands tied behind their back, because if the state governments make a certain ruling like they did today and over the weekend, then there's only so much they can do. So Gil McLachlan's got a difficult task on his hands, but we were forecasting it, as you were, from 7 days ago.
Important to know that Footy Classified also had a
contribution. Oh, it's important to know that.
just slightly yeah, later in the night.
The only problem was that was actually the next day at about 2:30 a.m.
That's nasty.
Thomas, can I just put you on notice, given that you are on air in about an hour's time, that I had a chat to Frank Panisi earlier in the day, and he's going to join us later on in the program. And he did tell me that he has a sneaking suspicion, a gut feel, if I can use that term, that the New South Wales government may be considering a similar approach. If New South Wales shut their borders, Thomas, what would that do to Gillon McLachlan's sleeping patterns?
Well, I don't think it's anything that Gillon McLachlan hasn't already considered. He seems to have, along with Travis Olds and the other executives of the AFL, a whole range of options, plan B, C, D, all the way down to plan Z.
Yep.
But what it would do is it would mean that Sydney and GWS would have to pick up their stuff and go elsewhere and find a hub, whether it's Darwin or Perth or Adelaide or even Victoria, although I think that's unlikely given the COVID-19 rates recently, to set up shop. It's not too dissimilar from what the Gold Coast Suns will have to do over the next few weeks, and that is move away from home and have a little prolonged road trip. I think the Swans and GWS Giants would have to do that as well. And that's just the reality of this season. It could easily happen, and I wouldn't be surprised if a few state governments were considering it, as well as New South Wales and Queensland, who have already done it.
Scary stuff. I'm not sure what the Players Association are going to think about this scoop. Plan Z. So you're talking about Zambezi land?
They've been strangely quiet, the AFL Players Association.
They have been. You're talking about what else begins with Z out there in the great world of geography?
Zimbabwe, Zambia.
Gee, they're going to be interesting hubs there.
Yeah, it would be interesting to go there. But don't you reckon Gil McLachlan has a whole range of options at his disposal? And even if he might be a little bit flustered behind the scenes, certainly in front of the public and in front of the cameras today, he was extremely relaxed and pragmatic about the whole thing. And I think that gives off an air of calm. And let's not forget, almost every other sporting body CEO has been turfed so far, whereas Gil McLachlan, I think, has probably enhanced his reputation. And I think today he delivered the perfect message with the right tone, but it doesn't make his job any easier, that's for sure.
No, I understand that, and I think you're right. I was actually buoyed. I was just a little bit concerned about him going off message about prior opportunity, and then I thought back to what happened on Saturday night, and the Saints beat Richmond comfortably. So I was pretty happy, given he's a Saints supporter.
Yeah, he wants everyone to have an opportunity to beat the opposition on any given day. And I think at the moment, we've got a good range of teams that would consider themselves a real chance every day. I mean, highlighted by Gold Coast, but there's others as well. Off message is interesting because you would have thought his message should be the AFL's message. But I think we almost quite like Gil because he can go a little bit rogue sometimes. Not too much, not quite Peter Vlandis, but also a little bit more rogue than maybe some of the more straight CEOs over the time.
So, when you're talking prior opportunity, Gil is just like your average St Kilda supporter in the stands screaming, "Ball!"
Jared, this is your number one topic. I understand that.
Now, my number one topic is congestion. I see these other things as just symptoms of congestion. But it does seem quite extraordinary to me that the fellow who 3 years ago established a charter, and one of the issues in that charter was to look after the bloke winning the ball, and then you basically orchestrate reducing prior opportunity to zero. I see that as contradictory.
Yes, but I think the AFL CEO can have a personal opinion and express it in a reasoned way, and we take it and we move on. I think there's an opinion that he had today, and I don't think it's necessarily that outlandish, and I think Steve Hocking's still got a job to do. It's not going to take away from what that department has to orchestrate to make the game better, which clearly is a bit of a problem as well. I think Gil was probably glass half full today, whereas I think most footy fans over the weekend, for most games, were probably glass half empty.
I tell you one thing it's going to do, Jared. It's just human nature. There's going to be more holding the balls paid this weekend. No doubt.
I doubt it.
What do you mean? Of course there is. Then the umpires are listening. You've had the greatest coach of all time and his boss, Gil McLachlan, came out and say we should pay more holding the ball.
Yeah, but you know the umpires are actually coached, or they answer to Steve Hocking.
Yeah, but Jared, this is the message in the back of the head. If you and I were sitting outside at the board table here at 3RW having a coffee, and the boss walked in and just said to a whole bunch of people, "I think everyone on air speaks too fast," you and I would start subconsciously speaking slower. That's just how it works, surely.
Possibly.
I want to see the stats.
Well, you can have a look at the stats.
Right. Slabber urban alleys. I bet you there's 10% more holding the
balls. I'm just not quite sure how you could actually reduce prior opportunity from zero to zero more.
I am with you. Completely. You and I are on the same page with holding the ball. And they were hot on the weekend.
Absolutely, though. I look at the weekend's footy and I say, how the hell can the umpire pay that holding the ball free kick?
Yeah, I said that at least five times.
Clarko looks at the footy and says, how the hell aren't they paying that as a free kick?
In fairness to Clarko, he's been saying this for the best part of 6 years, I reckon.
I do understand that, but I've got to get to Clarko and take him through team prior opportunity, because I reckon if we can get if that whole body that looks over the rules, which appears to be 50-50 split on prior opportunity, can all get on the one page, then that's got to be a plus, doesn't it?
Remember the days we used to talk about KB and Lethal being on the rules committee?
Yeah.
Now it's just the competition committee. It's become very formal. Committee.
Indeed it has. Tom, who are the big winners and big losers out of the weekend?
Oh, well, what about St Kilda? All of a sudden they get a game at Marvel Stadium against Sam's boys Carlton in prime time. So they've done very, very well there. Well, clearly the big loser is probably just going through the fixture now. Well, I think the Sydney Swans and West Coast have an interesting gig at the moment. Yep. West Coast were due to play Richmond. The Sydney Swans, they've had their fixture changed as well. And they're due to play Melbourne. So I don't know who's going to win that game. But I think neither team's actually in great form. But certainly St Kilda's a big winner at this point. Melbourne having to play Richmond, a Richmond team who surely is due for a win, is probably a big loser as well. And the Ds can't continue to play some ordinary footy. Probably.
You reckon Richmond's due for a win? I suspect Melbourne are pretty due for a win as well.
Yeah. Well, Jared, you know I watch Melbourne very closely. Don't look anywhere near it. They look nowhere near it.
Is there any chance that they may camp somebody in the forward line that can actually play as a forward?
Oh, that's nasty.
Well, they've got rid of a couple of forwards, Jared, and might be coming to back to bite them on the bum. So,
can you tell me what's happened to Wiedemann?
No, I can't. I can't. He's not playing. He kicked forwards in the in a practice match a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
But they seem to have a few forwards who roll in and perform quite well, but no big bodies who you can kick to, and it's costing them. It's so hard for Melbourne to kick goals consistently. They have to work so hard. They get no cheap goals at all, and we saw that on the weekend against Geelong, albeit they could have easily pinched that game, but I think it would have been a pinching rather than a game they deserved to win.
Yeah, they look like they're trying to manufacture a forward line with part forwards, part half ground ball players, part this, part that, and they're getting a part-time result.
Did you like Hannon's game?
I
did he do
Cannon.
Much?
Yeah.
He did a bit late, but the whole forward line did seem dysfunctional for the four quarters.
I mean, the ball goes
been,
in there
it
more
has
often.
Been dysfunctional for a while.
It has to go in there more often than any other club per goal. It spends more time in there than any other club, and yet they get the least amount of scores.
So you think it is the personnel in the forward line for the Demons rather than the quality of the entries?
It would have to be a combination of many factors.
I understand that, but so, what do you think is the greater factor, the higher contributing percentage?
I'd have to have another close look at the contributing.
Okay,
but
that's
to
50-50.
To me, they just don't have any representation when the ball goes in there quickly. So you see Chris Scott go in slowly.
Yep.
He goes in slowly for a reason. You see Melbourne going quickly. They go in quickly because
they don't know what to do.
Well, they go in there thinking it's going to enhance their scoring, and yet just they cannot score.
Mm.
I mean, if you looked at their numbers from centre half forward back, you'd say they've won by 8 goals.
Yep.
And yet they continue to lose because the only number that counts is that one on that big black thing in the at the MCG, the scoreboard. Scoop McClure was smiling in the background because he was saying all the same things about Carlton 2 weeks ago, and they've won 2 wins in the trot, and he's a happy player.
Oh, no, they've been really convincing
happy,
the Blues. Really,
he's a
really
happy
convincing.
Camper. Tom, all the best. We'll see you on Fox tonight.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Tom Morris there for Polaris End of Financial Year Sale and Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. I think not proud of it, Jared. I think Nisha might have seen a different part of me on Saturday night, late in the game.
Got a bit excited?
Oh, well.
After this, I want you to tell me about a bloke who you wrote off 2 weeks ago.
What are you talking about?
David Cunningham. Welcome back to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Travis Old, the AFL fixture boss, who's had a big 24 hours.
Oh, as he was.
Is about to join us. But before that, and the lines are open for Harcourt's 13-13-32. Perhaps you can give us your thoughts on this issue. Lordy, if I can guarantee you that somebody would kick 100 goals by the introduction of a three- or a four-man zone, a restrictive area in the forward line, and you could do it without changing the face of football to a large degree, would you support it?
I'd be up for that. And to be able to say that Ben and Max King, instead of chasing kicks up on the wing, could stay inside a 70-metre range for the next 10 years,
so hang on.
I'd support it.
Right, but when are you allowed to leave the 50? Never.
They're all about details. All I want to know is if he would trade one
make
for the
70.
Other.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Let's get to the fixture because fair to say, Jared, that the fixture was looking okay for the best part of, 2 weeks, and it's now been thrown into disarray because governments are closing their borders left, right,
Anastasia's
and centre.
Anastasia's got an election coming in October.
Yes. I don't think Travis Old, the fixture boss, gets too involved in the politics, but he might want to comment. Travis, welcome to you.
Evening, guys. How are we?
We're good. The better question is, how is the fixture looking and when will we have more clarity over what the rest of the year is going to look like? Are we going to be having hubs across the country, Travis?
Good question, Sam. I think when we committed to this season, we said that it'd throw up some challenges and at round four, it hasn't let us down. Mm. I don't think we'll have clarity like we used to. I think we made that pretty clear. Gil certainly made that clear today. During his press conference, that this is a year where there's going to be a lot of unexpected changes and we just got to prepare ourselves for that. And perhaps this notion of even releasing a fixture a week at a time best places us to be able to deal with all those changes. And so the focus in the last 24, 48 hours has been able to rejig round five so we can continue on. We need to spend the next few days now working out what six and seven look like and how we best deal with the changes in the protocols, particularly in, the quarantine situation, particularly in Queensland.
So you're sending Collingwood and Geelong to WA, Travis. Do Do you think Wolves end up sending two teams at a time to different areas of the country so they can base themselves there? New South Wales, Queensland, the ACT, Northern Territory?
Yeah, that's certainly
welcome back to Sports Day. Talk to Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being
changes in the exemption that we had from Queensland government.
And tonight's hot topic,
teams if they go directly into, or Victorian teams if they go directly into Queensland and need a quarantine for 14 days, they can play each other during that time. If they come via another state, in this case probably most likely New South Wales, then that counts as part of that quarantine time. And so it makes sense that we might get a couple of Victorian teams into Sydney. Opportunity to do something similar in South Australia after the 20th of July
and their borders to open.
Just
then
think about how
those who show their resilience
the movement
will be those
sort of
who
between
do
states
best.
Beyond this week.
The very start
spoke to
of this crisis,
Thursday night, Travis, about the possibility
of
the Queensland borders closing. And the same question now applies, I suspect, to the New South Wales government, given
as situations have changed,
the runaway numbers that we're having of COVID people in this town.
Continue to do.
Do you think New South Wales will follow suit?
Controlled way.
Oh, I'm not sure, Jared.
We've remained flexible and agile,
I'm
and we continue
sure exactly
to do so as we work our way through completing the remaining 118 games of the home and away season.
We can,
plus
by not having all
one thing
teams,
we do know
Victoria,
is there will be more challenges.
Situation. We've got clarity
with,
on that
and with
way.
Every challenge,
I think we can make that model
we'll
work
find
well.
A way through.
It's actually a similar model.
I've spoken to the clubs today to make them aware of the changes with
Queensland
and how we are
and if
responding.
We can do the same.
I also thank the clubs for embracing the challenge
like
and working with us very quickly to find a way through
way.
In the last 24 hours.
So the teams
hours,
that would go, the new teams that would go
to deal
through Queensland, will they be able to do the same as the deal you've got with
the
Western
AFL
Australia government, that they'll be able to play the first week in the quarantine situation amongst themselves before
they
play the two Queensland-based sides?
Continue to show.
It's certainly an understanding.
And finally, I want to thank our fans, their support,
the quarantine details with the Queensland government
parties,
now.
Opening state
but as we see at the moment,
so
you could send two non-Queensland teams up to Brisbane or Gold Coast
today, but also,
7 days later they could play each other and then 7 days after that they would serve their 14 days. When we committed to this season, we said Queensland teams.
That is very similar.
At round
four, that's very similar
to the WA model.
I don't think we'll have clarity.
We need to start getting teams like we used to.
We made it pretty clear.
Gilson
made it clear today.
Or if they go via
during his press conference,
that this is a year where
part of that 14
any thoughts of giving them an incentive? If you kick 15 goals twice in a row, you won't go into
releasing a
hub
a week at a time.
We talked about lots of things,
so
coaches incentives,
and that could be 48 hours
work well.
We've seen some really exciting
five, so they can continue
on. We've scored.
We need to spend the next few days now working out what
six and seven look like.
Anything we can
encourage the
scoring
changes in the
Travis, who's in the mix to go to Queensland?
Sorry, the quarantine.
Well,
situation in Queensland.
So you're sending Collingwood and Geelong to WA, Travis. Do you think Wolves end up sending two teams at a time to
in
different areas of the country
WA
so they can base themselves there? New South Wales, Queensland, the ACT, Northern Territory.
SA teams. And so it's a bit of we need to work out the next 2 days.
Probability
samples of who are the right teams. So
the
changes in the exemption that we had from Queensland government.
But certainly every team.
Teams, if they go to CEO today, or Victorian teams, if they go directly to Queensland,
need to keep
them
for 14 days.
Trev, is there a maximum amount of
time
you can have one particular team away from their families, or is this season we've just got to do what we can to get the games and the rounds going and obviously moved along?
Get a couple of Victorian teams into Sydney,
Gordy, from the experience
to do something similar in
Queensland
the 20th of July.
That sort of
when their borders open.
So we need to think about how we're
fairly manageable.
As long as the conditions are right, as long as you've got the movement of teams,
accommodation
sort of between states,
the right people looking after this week,
the clubs
and
the players.
So look, he's got a pretty tough job.
The quarantine conditions work for them,
and
I think
with
that 4 to 5 week period
as well
seems like it works
out.
Okay.
But
it may not be under these circumstances
and
4 to 5 weeks in the same place.
We're looking
at
mini hubs
Geelong
across the country
and Collingwood,
for
example.
So many questions to be asked about
WA,
who has to
for
quarantine
3 weeks.
Where? And, you know,
they
Gold
may
it
come back by one of the other states now. So they may not come back into Victoria straight away. They could come back by New South Wales, come back by Queensland. We've got that optionality we need to explore.
The first time we went into
interesting travel, just on round 6 and 7, do you feel that you have to? How long do you wait to bring out the round? Because things are changing day by day. Obviously, round 6 there might be 3 games that need to be changed from what you've already put out. But how long do you, are you best to wait as late as possible, or you need to get this going for the clubs?
Certainly, the preference of the clubs and broadcast is to have a couple of weeks' notice. And then the remaining so we think that as long as we've got the next 2 weeks understood and announced, then clubs and broadcasters feel okay.
No, I don't think it's messy is the right word.
It hasn't been an issue with our supporters to date, obviously, because we haven't been able to accommodate crowds. As that starts to come into play, that's a fact we need to take into account in terms of giving fans enough notice to get a ticket to get to games. So the complexity continues, but certainly the flexibility is really important for us at the moment. But
I think that appreciate your time, Travis. It's a great right challenge approach for you, and you are going to, more than anybody, have to be flexible and agile and look
malleable
and malleable and all those words. And thanks again for jumping on the phone for us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Best is going to be the team that wins the flag. That Richmond look like they still haven't found the hunger back. West Coast.
Yeah, I'm not sure theirs is a COVID-19 issue, though. I think the West Coast
is West Coast COVID-19 related.
It's a very interesting point, that one. They lost their last 3 at the end of last season, so maybe they were tipping over the edge anyway. Maybe that strategy has caught up with them as well.
Can I ask you a brief question on the West Coast?
Yeah,
I meant to ask you this in the, earlier in the show. As someone that watches them probably as close as anyone, why has their midfield gone from so strong to not offering a yelp? Given that on paper it's the same midfield plus Tim Kelly and Nick Natanui.
It's a good question. Nat Nui's coming in good form.
Yep.
Yo's struggled. He was a bit better on the weekend.
Shuey.
Shuey's injured, so he's got an excuse, and he's been okay, but I suspect he's got a broken rib. I mean, they've allowed him to be seen on TV twice now, having his tape removed around his chest, so he's got an issue. Kelly is really struggling, and I talk about really struggling in context to
what
we
was.
Expected of him last year, and he delivered, duly delivered, so he's not giving them their absolute. And I think that, you know, Natanui has certainly come in and given them a hand, but as much as their midfield, which were better on the weekend, has struggled, it's their efficiency at both ends of the ground that has been the real problem for them, and their inability to move the ball. A lot of clubs are now preventing that 45 kick backwards. I mean, they are a marking kick side, and yet they cannot move the ball because they're being prevented from getting that first one away.
So based on that, Jared, do you think it's – I feel like there's this feeling within AFL circles that when they go back to WA, it'll be flicking a switch.
Not guaranteed. And I don't think Adam Simpson thinks that at all.
No.
Because he knows, and he mentioned it. They've got issues everywhere. Well, the issues everywhere.
Yeah.
They are totally inefficient in the back half. They are getting scored against at will, and they're totally inefficient in the front half. They're not winning ground balls like they used to. They weren't at the top of the tree. But they are not able to move the ball with the same surety that they have done for the last 2 or 3 years. So there's some challenges for Adam Simpson and his men to get through.
Gee, some issues there. As Basil Fawlty would say, everything's fine. There are some real issues going on.
And I don't think Richmond are going to flick the switch either. I think anyone who thinks that's going to happen in the next, you know, week or two is hopeful. And not actually, I think they're hoping more than they're actually confident.
So, Jared, if there was one team that you were coaching against, if there's one team that you wouldn't want to come up against this week.
This week.
Who would it be? Who would you not want to play?
Port Adelaide.
So you're on board with Port?
Oh, absolutely. I've been for 2 weeks. I've watched them the last 2 weeks. They were really good last year. They were at the top of the tree last year, but they couldn't kick goals.
Yep,
they went inside forward 50 more than anybody. They held it in more than anybody. They could not get it on the scoreboard. Well, this year, King Charlie has made a huge difference.
King Charlie.
And they've got a centre-half forward, a young kid at centre-half forward, and King Charlie, who's clunking them like no royalty, no royal has ever clunked them before, and he may lead them to the promised land.
I was on the golf course on the weekend, and someone said, yeah, I'm still not convinced on Port. They haven't played anyone. To which I turned around and said, hang on, the side who's second on the ladder, the Gold Coast Suns, they beat by 8 goals.
Yeah, indeed. It's amazing when you reflect on that particular issue. That's it for us at this stage.
Yes,
Scoop, plenty more to come.
Win prizes, fuel vouchers. You can even win a brand new ute, Jared, with Team APCO Top Fan. A break on Sports Day, Storm footy boss Frank Panisi to join us next. I think Jared's actually got a new name for the Melbourne Storm. Stay tuned.